to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 883. Today, my name is Lisa Sheps. I'm your co-host with the most. I am here solo. Nicole is not here, so your loss. You're listening to me on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby. This show streams live on Wednesdays at koop.org.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Yeah. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
My grandma called me.
It is Wednesday, July 1st, 2026. On the show today, we have one very special and amazing guest, and that's the folks from TexArts and their show, Rock of Ages. And of course, we'll have lively discussions of the world of theater in New York, Boston, Amsterdam, Austin, and New Braunfels. Stick with us. You're a friend of mine. I am going to start differently than I normally do because I do not have a co-host today. Hello, No Nicole. I'm going to introduce my people right away before I say anything else, the folks that are here with me. We have Kim Schaefer. Hi, Kim.
Hi, so excited to be on today.
I'm excited. There are five of you here. You're all my co-hosts for this section. Paige Harvey. Hi, Paige.
Hi, hey, y'all.
And then we have Shane Scandura.
Hello, good to be here.
Sarah Teeter.
Hi, Lisa.
And the amazing Lynn Kenning.
Always a pleasure.
It is always a pleasure. So y'all did not recognize that song, did you?
No,
because it's new. It's called Friend of Dorothy. And I have not heard of this show before. It's called the Jack of Hearts Club. Have y'all heard of it?
No.
Well, it's interesting. It's written by John Richardson. It's a new musical called The Jack of Hearts. It had an engagement, when was it? In October. It had a sold-out world premiere in P-Town, Provincetown. And evidently, it's a big old gay show. And it's about a group of regulars that gather in a rowdy Provincetown bar known as the Jack of Hearts Club for their annual So Long Summer Cabaret send-off. It's an original tale of community and unabashed queer joy. Everyone is trying to find out where they belong. So they had a premiere in October 2025. It was sold out. It's coming back for limited engagement July through September. It's already sold out.
Wow. Amazing. Wow. That's amazing.
Okay. It's amazing for a show that's A, not in New York, B, not, I mean, there's not really, really world-renowned people that I know of. Maybe inside baseball.
Do they have any famous drag queens in it?
I don't think it's a drag queen show.
Okay.
But they have. I'll read out the cast list. I don't know. I don't think any of these. Mary Callahan, James Jackson Jr., Angelo McDonough, Marissa Miller, John Richardson, who also wrote it, Brittany Rolls, Yao Santos, Chris Spalding, Mike Sullivan, and Peter Toto. Interesting thing about Peter Toto. I played him in 1974 in a production of The Wizard of Oz. So we just use the last name.
That's amazing.
You got us there.
That is a true story.
That was good.
I played Toto in The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah. I would love to see pictures of that.
There are pictures.
Okay.
Actually, along with the former artistic director of, South Coast Repertory Theater in California, Mark Masterson, who played the Cowardly Lion.
That is my hometown theater that I always used to see shows at.
Oh, it is.
Yes.
Then you might have known Mark. He was the artistic director there for years. So you're from Long Beach?
I'm from Orange County.
Okay. Well,
or more specifically, Rancho Santa Margarita, right next to the Saddleback Mountains.
I love Rancho Santa Margarita.
Yeah.
I got a speeding ticket in Rancho Cucamonga. Yeah, for one of the better words. That's back when I was on the road with Joffrey Ballet. Don't. Yeah, I tried to talk my. I was the road manager, lighting designer, tech person for the Joffrey Ballet's third company. We toured. It was one of my favorite jobs I've ever had. It was a wonderful, wonderful job. And we all used to all know all the dancers. This was back in the 80s. And I got a ticket in Rancho Cucamonga. Anyway, that was that song. They're releasing a cast album, and this is the first number from the cast album, which is also, there's also a video. You can see it. But it's interesting. Is it, when I think of a cast album, I think of something that's produced with mm-hmm. orchestrations, mm-hmm. but this song is just piano. So I'm guessing that's what the rest of it is as well.
I was wondering that when you were playing it, if that was part of the number, or if that's what their album release is at this point.
That's the only number that they've released. So when you go into iTunes, you see the whole album, but that's the only one that's available to get right now.
Okay.
And that was also the video I saw, mm-hmm. which is it's like their trailer for it. It's the whole video. And I thought, well, okay, the cast album's got to be. So when I downloaded this and it was still piano, I went, all right, maybe it's all
very,
piano.
It's very, I love you, you're perfect now, change.
It is. It is. That's what everybody says about me. So let me thank Kim Simpson for another wonderful International Folk Bazaar. All First Nations people, which I think is amazing. We just did a show in Grand Funk Theater that celebrated the indigenous of New Mexico. Just because everything comes back to Ground Floor Theater that I talk about. Or me, which is important. Okay, that was a joke.
As it should be.
So I do need to make this disclaimer that the opinions said here on Offstage and on the Air are not necessarily those of Co-op, its board of directors, volunteers, underwriters, or employees. It's just my opinion. And I want to start with a minor little rant. About our current state of political affairs, now that I've done that disclaimer. And I know, what does that have to do with theater? Well, I think it does a little bit. But I mean, right now, with this slew of Supreme Court decisions that came in with rulings against transgender folk, against voting rights, against all of this stuff that this very conservative Supreme Court is laying down and basically bending a knee to President Trump, who I do not agree with 100% of what he's... I'm sure it's not 100%. No, you know what? I think the savings account thing, I don't like the name of it, the Trump bucks or whatever, yeah. I think that was a good thing. Yeah. I'm actually all for that. Anyway, so I most of the thing. But it's just so infuriating. And as they were coming out, I was expecting all of them. And then we had kind of a win, which was the voting,
mail-in voting.
No, mail-in voting. That was kind of a win as well. Mm-hmm. Birthright citizenship, which is in the Constitution. Yes. Mm-hmm. And that did not get passed. But it was a 5-4 decision. And one of the podcasts I listened to, which is all about the Supreme Court, they were expecting it to be 8-1, which is what it should have been because it's in the Constitution. How does anybody vote against that? And it just angers me that this administration and this Supreme Court is stripping away the rights of people to line the pockets of people that are just making money on it, I think. Or in the case of all the stuff that's happening to trans folk, of which I'm one, by the way, is just hateful and mean-spirited.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What does it have to do with theater? Theater is a place of love and joy. And I think this is a place where inequality and equity and people that feel like me can get a little bit of, I don't know, not retribution, but maybe feel a little bit of positivity by going to the theater.
Mm-hmm. And it's home. It makes you. It creates safety. It creates a loving environment. It creates a place where you can be yourself, and it's welcomed.
And it has opposing views, as long as it's not hateful.
Correct.
I'm happy to go and watch a show that talks about views that I don't agree with, as long as it's not hateful.
Well, and it should also, theater should make you think.
Yes.
It needs to. I mean, if it's not, not every theater, not every show should just be fun and entertaining. Like, some of it should actually make you think outside the box.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep.
Or and, provoke.
Or provoke. I like provoke. People accuse my theater of that. Some people say they don't want to go to ground floor theater because they don't want to think, which I take that as a compliment.
It means you're doing something right.
Not all of our shows are going to do that. I do like the idea of doing something just for fun. Anyway, that's my little rant. I realize that we're a show about theater. We very rarely talk about controversial things. But I just don't like that the people in power are spewing so much hate and are stripping rights away from people that have no power and giving them to people that already have power.
Well, also look at everything that's happened at the Kennedy Center. I mean, that is just such a shame. I mean, pretty much almost every musical or play, choirs have backed out of yep. their shows and stuff at the Kennedy Center because they're not welcomed. You know.
Well, at least the little tiny victory is there that they made him take his name off.
I know that just happened a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, I mean, I was actually in D.C. for it too.
Yeah, oh. Did you see the scaffolding up there?
No, because we were kind of trying to avoid the area.
Okay.
But I was there that weekend, which I was very excited about.
Have you played the Kennedy Center?
Actually, no. I haven't yet.
I have. Yeah. It's a wonderful place to play. That's the end of the story. I did my one-person show there, my solo show. That's not true. Okay. Has anybody seen the Merrily We Roll Along... they did a pro tape of it, of the recent version with
the pro show. Yeah,
I have not seen it.
Yes, I saw that, and I saw.
Of course, you saw the show.
Yes, I'm sorry. I saw the show on Broadway with the original cast.
Tell me what you thought of the video, and just as a hint, I'm mad. But what did you think of it?
Well, why are you mad? Can I ask?
Because it is not treated like a theater piece. It was all one shots and two shots. They never pulled back. I couldn't see the show. I never felt like I was in a theater. Even at the very end, for the curtain calls, I said, okay, well, they're going to pull back. And they never did, ever, not once.
They shot it more as like a movie or a film.
It was like a movie. And there were very few. I never saw the chorus. I rarely saw the chorus. I like the show, so I thought. It's been a long time since I've seen it. But after seeing the film, I don't like the show so much anymore. So,
well, I'll say this is that this cast, particularly with Jonathan Groff and Lindsay Mendez, and I think they made the show.
That's what I hear.
In all honesty, because I've seen the show in other forms, other iterations. But when I saw the original cast, and I mean, in all honesty, it closed after when Lindsay was going to have her baby because they just knew it wasn't going to work without that original cast because of like their bond, their connection, everything. So
Daniel Radcliffe was a person that you didn't.
Yes,
mention.
Daniel Radcliffe. Sorry.
I forgot his name too.
Blanked on the name. I wanted to say Harry Potter, but you know.
So here's what I didn't know, but I learned from that show. Daniel Radcliffe is short.
Oh, he's very short. Yeah.
Yes. Did not know that. He's like 5'4".
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He's shorter than Lindsay.
I know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Had no idea. He appears tall to me.
Oh, really?
Ah, that was it. You worked with Tommy Toon.
Oh, yes. Yes, I have.
Did you make that connection?
Yes, I know. I was like, well, height. Yes.
For my listeners, Kim and I were talking before the show. I watched her directing reel this week. And I said there was something about, we had something in common. And I couldn't remember what it was, but it was that you assisted Tommy Toon?
Yeah, I've been his dance associate for several shows in New York City.
Does everybody know who Tommy Toon is?
Because
I'm
discovering that the younger generation does not. Did you not? Sarah does not.
Yeah, I've met and spent time with Tommy.
Did you? Mm-hmm. I auditioned for
Tommy.
It's
a great name, though.
Yeah. I actually agree about, because so I teach at a couple different universities in New York, and sometimes I'll reference stories about, oh, when Tommy, you know, taught me this, or we were discussing and they were like, who's Tommy Toon? And I'm like, guys, I'm going to do a musical theater history class right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so sad. I got to say, we were fortunate enough to have Ben Vereen here, and we did an interview with him, which is one of our favorite ones. And I mentioned that to somebody, and all I got was this blank stare. Oh. They didn't know who Ben Vereen is. And, he didn't want to scold me. Anyway, Merrily We Roll Along, I'm so angry. One of the things I do love about pro tapes, I'll just talk about Hamilton because most everybody has seen Hamilton. Mm-hmm. You know, I Hamilton doesn't have as many long shots as I would like, but there's still enough that you know that it is a play, that it is a shot of a play. And I didn't feel that with Marilyn.
But I also wonder with that is that, like, Hamilton is also known a lot for its choreography as well, besides the story in the book. And so, but Mary Lee re-roll along wasn't about that. So I wonder if that's why they took that approach.
I'm going to push back on that a little bit because I didn't see enough of the choreography in the filming of Hamilton.
Oh, I agree about that. But what I'm saying is like, what I wonder if like the filmmakers or the people that filmed the shows took that approach of like, oh, Merrily We Roll Along doesn't have that much movement in it, so we can just shoot small, personal.
Maybe.
Focusing on characters.
Focusing it, maybe.
It made me think, and just because it all comes back to me. So at Ground Floor Theater, we stream every show that we can, that we legally can, and we have a little studio with these cameras that I'm actually the video director at that point. And I do a lot of, I try to do a lot of close-ups and stuff like that. But when I first started, I did like as many as I possibly could. Now I pull back a little bit, but it makes me rethink doing that so much as I did because I still want people to know that they're watching a live performance.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. That was good. We've barely even talked about the things that we want to talk about. So you know what? I'm going to keep this local. What do I want to talk about next? Where'd it go? Nobody panic. I'm going to find it. There it is. The Real Kyle McCarron. Anybody know that show?
No.
Never heard of it.
So this was following the Rhinebeck Writers Retreat. It won the Triple R Award. And it is a new musical called The Real Kyle McCarron. It was written by Andy Ronenson, who was actual bandmates with the real Kyle McCarron, who has passed away. I don't know. Anyway, Kyle and Andy were bandmates, but the real Kyle McCarron is dead, and he won't let Andy forget it. But the reason why I mention is they mention the whole cast. I should say it's being directed by Lonnie Price and Matt Cowart. So it's got very big name brand people. And it's happening, where is it going to be? At Joe's Pub, July 18th and 19th, before it goes on to do Edinburgh. Local star and Broadway star, Vincent Jamal Hooper, is in it.
Yay.
We love Vincent.
Yeah.
We do.
Yeah.
You've worked with him,
yes.
Lynn?
Yes.
Have you worked with him, Kim?
No, not yet.
Yeah, he may be before your time. Because he left Austin
2016.
I think right after he did my parade, the first time we did parade, and then
I don't think I was in the Austin scene yet.
No, you weren't, but I thought that was great. We always like to talk about local people. I saw his name on the Broadway briefing. I was really excited. Speaking of Washington D.C. and controversial stuff, please reference our earlier disclaimer. There is the artistic director of Arena Stage, Hannah Sheriff, stepped down, but not without being told that she had to step down, or she was forced out, more or less. And she says, quote, "Ultimately, the board and I arrived at a crossroads, one defined not by a lack of shared love for this institution, but by differing visions of how Arena Stage should meet the future. What art belongs at its center, how teams should be built and empowered to evolve, and what a sustainable path forward truly requires." So that's what that was her official statement. She she's one of the very few Black artistic directors in this country. Mm-hmm. And what a shame that whatever happened
led to that.
And she was only took over the theater in 2023.
And they do fantastic work there.
They do.
A lot of pre-Broadway runs.
Swept Away, Shay Joey is supposed to go. Damn Yankees is set to come to Broadway.
Oh, I saw previews of that.
Did you?
Yeah, because I have a couple friends in the show. And I got to watch some rehearsals. It's amazing.
Oh, what fun.
It's really amazing.
I like Damn Yankees.
Yeah, it's a great show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Trying to think. I'm sure, I don't know. I don't know how it ages. You know, so many things don't age well.
I know, yeah.
So off the top of my head, I can't think of whether there's anything in there that doesn't age well. But I do like Damn Yankees. It's a good one.
It's a crowd pleaser.
Anybody else have opinions about Damn Yankees?
I've never seen it.
What?
Yeah.
Me neither.
You would be a good Lola.
You would be a good Lola.
Yeah, you should check that out.
There okay. is a movie version, which is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who's in it?
I think it's Cheetah.
It is Cheetah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She plays Lola. And, you know, whatever Lola wants.
Lola gets.
Yeah, thank you for picking up that cue.
Thanks for playing.
So we did have a couple of openings. We had a show called Birthright opens, which sounds very interesting to me. But especially since we were talking about Birthright.
Reference our earlier conversation.
But joke's on you. It's not about that.
Oh.
It's about the tradition in the for Jews of Birthright. Which is something that didn't happen when I was growing up as a Jewish person. Birthright is where Israel basically pays for Jews from the United States to travel and visit Israel. To, I guess, help with their, help them see their Judaism, but also I think it's probably a little bit of propaganda for the state of Israel, which I look at two different things. In terms of the government of Israel and the state of Israel. And so this is a play written by Jonathan Spector. It's about six Jewish American friends. And this happens over a series of a couple of decades, I guess. But it starts in 2006 and it goes through current time. So that's a couple of decades. Israel does an all expense paid educational trip to, it's called Birthright Tours. My niece just went on hers a few years ago. And it did. She was, so my family is not so much Jewish as Jewish. And she came back pretty Jewish.
I'm sure.
So it does it. Jonathan Spector wrote Eureka Day, if that name sounds familiar. These six friends, come at different angles. Some people come at it and said, yes, it was a spiritual journey. Other people said, oh, it was propaganda, et cetera, et cetera. And it goes on through to today's day. And they talk a lot about what's going on after October 7th and the Palestinian issue and how that has just split everybody, including people in the Jewish faith.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting. It's directed by Teddy Bergman. This was, by the way, this review was written by Helen Shaw. She made it a New York Times critics pick. And evidently, so it's a 3-hour plus show, which can be scary.
Yeah.
The
Doll's House.
I went to go see, darn it. Can't remember the name of it. Anyway. 3-hour show. I was a little nervous about going to see it because I typically am, you know, getting shorter, but you don't feel it in this thing. And evidently same deal here, that you don't really feel it, but it's three acts. And evidently they have, I thought they were going to have a title for each act. Cause the first act is called Two Jews, Three Opinions.
Four Jews in a room sitting.
Yeah. five edited. Groups in a room.
Yeah.
Bitching, which you can say.
Oh,
just
I
can't
can
say it six times in a row.
I don't know if I can say it.
Yeah, you can say that.
Okay.
Just not six times in a row. Then it becomes profanity.
Okay.
Good enough.
Figure that out. Or five times in a row. I can't remember. So the third act is set in 2024 against the backdrop of what's going on now. And it said the set design requires two intermissions because the scene shifts from indoor to outdoor to indoor. And the producer in me is just not happy about this whole thing. They also said that you think about it right up front because this happens at the, is it the MCC? I can't remember where it is. Oh, it's at MCC. Look at me in my memory. There is metal detectors to go into the theater. which MCC typically doesn't have. And they said, you feel this feeling about danger right away. And it says later in the article in the review, quote, the theater invites us to think about danger, perhaps from anti-Semitic violence, perhaps from reactionary protest, or both.
Well, all the theaters in New York now are, you have to go through metal detectors. Yeah. It's like now it's almost, I think, a requirement that you have to for every theater.
Well, MCC's in New York.
Yeah.
So I wonder why she said that they didn't have it before.
Well, all the Broadway theaters, you have to.
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess MCC is off-Broadway.
Yeah, it's off-Broadway. Yeah.
Maybe that's what it is. Okay. That shows you how long it's been since I've been in New York. Okay, we have just a few more minutes. Here's a question. Y'all would know. They Playbill just came out with the most produced school shows, and I'm just gonna say musicals because they're all musicals. Mm-hmm. Anybody want to guess what the top ones are?
Seussical.
Who said that? Yeah, you got to be right in the microphone.
Seussical.
It's on the. No, it's not on the list.
Wow.
Little
Seussical
Show
is not as on the list. Hmm. Number four.
Hadestown.
Number two.
Oh.
Come on. Mamma Mia.
Number one.
Yay! Yes, artistic director. Come on, nail it, artistic director.
Number three is the Addams Family.
Okay. Of course.
New to the list this year. By the way, those three, Mamma Mia, Hadestown, Addams Family, were the top three last year as well, I believe, but in a different order. Beetlejuice made it this year for the first time.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense. We're actually doing that this fall.
Yeah, but don't say it three times.
I won't.
Oh, good. I can't wait to see it.
Well, it's for our Academy show. So we're technically doing...
Oh, right. It's probably not available for adults. Which is...
I don't think it is.
I find this interesting that's happening now. And I don't know that it ever did. But like adults can't do Hadestown.
No.
It's only for kids, which I think is so fascinating.
I know. And then same with Beetlejuice, because now Beetlejuice is running like on a cruise ship in London and Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Like my friend Michael sets
I
it
love
everywhere.
Michael
Fatica?
No, I don't.
I know. I figured he's your best friend, right?
He is. He's my best friend. We dated for years.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Okay. All right. Well, then the last thing I want to talk about before we go to break. This Terrence McNally Fellowship, which also has a local connection. So the Terrence McNally New Works Incubator Fellowship has been announced for 2026. And this is a fellowship of playwrights, and they get a 3-week program designed to support their early career. And then they get access to the artistic community at the Rattlestick and Tom Curaday Productions. And then they get a public presentation of their workshop that they do. They also get money. $10,000 with mentorship opportunities from industry professionals. And one of those winners is a local person, and that's Katie Bender. So Katie Bender is a wonderful local playwright here, and she is the winner of one of those things. Her husband is one of the partners in Bambino, the restaurant Bambino, and Locadoro as well.
Oh, that's
good,
super
people
exciting.
All. Locadoro has just always comes back to me in Judaism. Locadoro has a Passover Seder that I went to this year for the first time. Anyway, so congratulations to Katie. I think that's really great. We're going to take a little break, and we're going to play a piece of music from a show that Terrence McNally wrote the book for, a little show called Kiss of the Spider Woman. And this is the number Dressing Them Up. We'll be right back.
Dressing them up. I love the dressing them up. The subtle.
We're back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and company. That was a fun discussion. And now I'm going to introduce the folks for the real reason why they're here, not to be my co-host. And that is TexArts production of Rock of Ages. And we have the artistic director of TexArts and the director and the choreographer of Rock of Ages, Kim Schaefer.
Hi, great to be here.
Hi. We have Kim's right-hand person, Paige Harvey.
Hi.
What's your title?
Associate director.
Wow. Okay, good. That's even better. We have the music director, Lynn Kenning. Hi, welcome back.
Hello.
And we have two of the performers playing the leads. Shane Scandura. I knew I was Scandura. Oh,
yeah,
my
that was
God.
It. No, that was it. Yeah, Scandura.
I looked at the page and all the letters just shuffled in my view.
Yeah.
It was crazy. And Sarah Teeter.
Hello.
Welcome. Kim Schaefer. What is this show about?
Okay, so this show is set.
Is it a lullaby?
No, definitely not a lullaby. It is all of the most iconic rock music of the 80s.
Power ballads and stuff.
Yes, power ballads, but it's got like Don't Stop Believin', Pour Some Sugar on Me, High Enough, all your favorite songs of the 80s. It's set in California. And so our lead, Sarah Teeter, who's playing Sherry.
Who's from California?
Yes, I am.
I know. Mm-hmm. That's a happy coincidence. she moves to California to make it big as an actress. Along the way, she finds this amazing dive bar and she tries to get a job there. She ends up falling in love with our other lead,
Shane. Is the dive bar called Jack of the Hearts Club?
No. It's actually called the Bourbon Room.
Okay,
which
whatever.
Is kind of funny. I'm like, it kind of should be set in New Orleans because of Bourbon
there
Street.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
But I think that's just my tie because I'm originally from New Orleans.
I heard that, my tie.
Yeah.
Ding, ding. Ta-ding. I didn't know you're from New Orleans.
Yeah,
I love New Orleans. Mm-hmm. Okay, keep going.
And so then they meet at this dive bar. She ends up getting a job there first. Basically, both of them are trying to become famous in California. And along the way, they just have different conflicts, like the bar trying to be shut down and everything like that, and just normal financial conflicts in a big city. And then we'll see how it ends.
We don't know how it ends.
Dot, dot, dot.
We don't know how it ends. Probably with guitars being slammed on the ground.
Yes.
Which is what happens. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, that's great. And what's as a director? What do you have a particular take on this production? Or
I'm just really leaning into the comedic aspect of this because this is a show that's for adults. It's 18 and over. So I'm really playing into all of like the comedic bits throughout. And the biggest thing also as well is like the arch of their characters going from when you first arrive in a new city to how that city changes you. I mean, I can speak from experience myself. You know, I'm not the same person that I arrived in New York as.
You got Avenue Q'd.
You've got these one-liners today.
I do. I'm on fire.
Yeah.
Cool. Amazing. Okay, Sarah, tell us about your character.
All right. Well, Sherry, she's kind of the girl next door, innocent, comes to the town, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, ready to start this new journey.
Typecasting?
Typecasting for me?
I'm asking. That was a question mark. I went up at the end.
I don't usually get to play a bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, smiley girl. So, no.
Yeah, okay,
this is
good.
Exciting. But, yes, yeah, so she's... comes to the city and is eager beaver, and little does she know that there's lots of hurdles that she'll have to jump over and maybe some moral questions that she'll have to ask herself and what's really important.
MQs, we call those. Moral questions. That's great. And Shane, tell us about Drew.
So I play Drew, who works as a barback at the Bourbon Room. And he has these wild dreams of being a rock star, and he really wants to just have a good time, get on stage, do his guitar playing, do his singing. But he finds it, kind of difficult in a city where that's everyone's dream. So that's just him trying to find his own voice.
Yeah. So I'm going to talk about this later when I talk to Lynn, just in general, but. The music on this is rock and roll, which is not what we typically think of as American musical theater. Had y'all sung in this style before, or is this new to you?
New.
I've done a little bit, but like not in terms of theater.
Okay. How was it then for you? I mean, because I would think it's a very different style, different mindset, and different muscles, I would think, that you use. How
Absolutely.
Was it for y'all?
Oh. extremely fun, mm-hmm. very enjoyable, just to like let loose, you know. I mean, you still have to have that control, but you're wailing, having fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome.
It feels a lot more freeing and a lot more like you can put your own personal voice into things. When it comes to musical theater, it's a lot of, you have to make sure you are enunciating everything. You have to make sure the audience knows exactly what you're saying. When it comes to rock, it's a little different. Just because, you know, people already know the songs, you have a little bit more of leeway when it comes to that kind of stuff. So you can kind of put a little bit more grunge into your voice and, you know, bring it out a little bit more.
Yeah, well, I mean, rock and roll is got an edge to it, and it's not safe. I'm using air quotes.
Yeah.
Which is my beef with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, by the way. Just so you know, yeah. I find the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I haven't been there in years, but when I went there, it was like, this is just safe. It doesn't feel like rock and roll to me.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It doesn't push the boundaries.
No, it doesn't at all. And rock and roll does.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Boy, I had another question that just went away because I wanted to talk about my trip to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I know. So the two of you look slightly younger than me by a couple of years.
Just a little.
Is this music new to you, or did you know this music? Were there any pieces that you did not know?
Oh yeah, definitely some that maybe I didn't know, but I've heard it at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, my parents basically brought me up on this music. You know, both of their favorite bands are from the 80s. So even like, you know, while I was reading through the song list of this, I was like, I don't know any of these songs. And then suddenly I hear the melody and I'm like, I know all of these songs.
You hear the hook.
So it's,
that's a good point.
Yeah. It's just kind of ingrained in there. Even if I don't think I know it, I know it.
Amazing. Well, now y'all are going to do a song, a medley of songs from the show, aren't you?
That's correct.
Do we need to set this up in any way?
No, I don't think so. I mean, cause it's a medley. It's just, all of the, you know, best options that we could do for the two of them. This show in particular definitely has a very intertwined with songs and scenes. So it kind of goes in and out throughout the whole show.
Okay. Well, this is Shane Scodura and Sarah Teeter, accompanied by the amazing Lynn Kenning. And this is a medley of songs from TexArts production of Rock of Ages.
I don't want to hear about it anymore. It's a shame I've got to live without you anymore.
There's a fire in my heart, a pounding in my brain, it's driving me crazy.
We don't need to talk about it anymore. Yesterday's just a memory. Can we close the door?
I just made one mistake.
Oh, I didn't know what to say
when you call me back.
Living for a dream, loving
touch your hand. I can hear you whisper, the search is over. It was right before my eyes. I was living for your hand. I can hear you whisper, the search is over, love was right before my eyes.
Amazing. How wonderful was that? Y'all sound great.
Thank you, Lisa.
You're welcome. Yeah, you got the rock and roll thing down.
Good. I know, right? I'm lucky.
Yeah. So Lynn, talk to us about the musical direction of this. Again, you know, you do a lot of musical theater, and these are different muscles, as we've talked about. How's that been for you from a musical direction standpoint?
It's been great. I just, before I forget, I wanted to build on something Shane said, you know, talking about songs and how jukebox or rock musical is different. There's not exposition in these songs. And so, you know, it's like we can just sing and enjoy. And even in the band, it's precise and specific, but it's also just more free than like other shows that I've done.
Yeah, that's a good point. And if I'm taking your point correctly, the thing about musical theater is you typically musical theater songs advance the story. And these don't necessarily do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And as Kim mentioned too, it's interesting because a lot of this material will do a song and then there's underscoring. And so there's still music happening and there's a ton of underscoring while exposition is happening,
right,
while the story is being promoted. A cool thing about our production is that and most Rock of Ages productions is the band is on stage. I have a, can I say kick ass?
Yes, you just did.
Kick ass.
Yes.
You just
did.
Only twice.
Yeah.
Band on stage. And so and we've got all the iconic sounds. I'm running main stage on my keyboard. So we have all the iconic piano sounds and all kinds of hand claps, just all kinds of sounds, plus drums, two guitars, and bass. And so it's right up front in your face on stage.
I need violins and I need horns.
That's a jazz show.
But there's
nothing like a rock and roll show with a clarinet. And an
right. Right. The really fun thing for me is that I used to listen to all of this stuff on the radio. I am older than everyone in this room.
Except me.
I don't know. We'll see. And so I was telling the cast that a really fun thing for me is when we were getting ready to start rehearsals, the idea that I was going to get to play like all those iconic piano intros, you know, like Don't Stop Believin', you know.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff. So like every song that has like any iconic piano intro is just every night it's a thrill.
That is actually cool. But that actually has got to be different for you as well from a playing standpoint, because and I don't know, are the rest of the band, are they theater musicians or are they rock and roll musicians?
They are both. They are experienced musical theater musicians who also gig around town. And so I pulled in people that have like real life rock and roll
experience.
Because
that's a different mindset as well.
Yeah.
From your player standpoint.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They'll
behaving themselves?
Tomorrow night is our first band rehearsal, but I've played with all of them. So okay. I expect them to bring their professionalism, but also fall out.
Is tomorrow night the Sitz Probe? Or is
yes.
it just, oh,
uh-huh.
cool.
Yeah.
What's a Sitz Probe?
It's a seated, we're actually doing a Vondel Probe.
You're doing a Vondel Probe?
Yeah.
My audience knows about Vondel Probes. So you're doing a Vondel Probe.
Now what's that?
Tell my audience what a Vondel Probe is.
A Vondel Probe is where band comes in and we explore the music with the band, first time meeting with the actors. And I prefer a Vondel Probe because that means the actors, I have them, they'll be mic'd up, they'll be running their tracks on stage. As I mentioned, there's so much underscoring. It helps me get timings of transitions and scenes and stuff. So, and it gives the cast another rep.
Make them work.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I've had much better experience with that than Zitz Probe, where people are just sitting in chairs, standing at a mic. Sitting at a chair until it's time to sing.
I know.
Well, for the audience, and you know, because you know my rule: if you're singing, you're standing.
100%. Well, that's amazing. So, what else about this show do you want to highlight? Is there any special? What's the set look like?
Oh, the set is incredible. Bradford Smitherman did it, and
that's a great name.
Yeah, right. It's amazing. It's a full out rock and roll set. It looks like a authentic dive bar in California. We actually went to Star Hill Ranch, me and him, to find like vintage bar signs. So we have all of these amazing beer signs and bar signs from like years ago that Star Hill Ranch was lovely enough to give to us.
Oh, amazing. Yes. Good for you.
So it's a really cool set. And like Lynn said, we have the band on stage. So I've been definitely like interacting them throughout. So the band is part of the show. Mm-hmm. Like they have lines, they have staging.
They better get their lines right. I'm not familiar with Star Hill Ranch. Where is that located? Is that out in Lakeway?
It's in Bee Cave.
It's in Bee Cave.
Okay. Yeah. So Star Hill Ranch is where a lot of like movies and film, TV stuff has happened in Austin. It's also an event space, but it's fantastic. You walk in and it looks like an old time like Texas town, but they have anything vintage you need. I went there, me and Bradford, my scenic designer, and we literally looked through hundreds of signs.
Amazing.
Wonderful. Anything you need, anything you want, you know, PBR signs, Miller Lite signs, the whole thing.
Awesome. We are running out of time, but I want to take just a moment to switch gears slightly, but stay with TexArts. By the way, TexArts was my very first guest on Offstage on the Air 18 years ago when we started this show.
Yay. Oh, that's production fantastic.
Of Golf, the musical. But you're getting a new executive director.
Yes, Andrew Cannata. We're really excited.
I love Andrew. He's performed on my stage before.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. He's performed everywhere in Austin.
He has. He has. He's the great God Andrew, we like to call him.
Oh, I think I might start doing that.
GGA. I think he'd like that. So congratulations on that. That's new and exciting, and I'm sure he'll be great over there.
Yeah, I'm super excited to team up with him. Obviously, me and him will be kind of a tag team, a dream team, what you duo. So I'm very excited. I've worked with him before. He actually hired me to choreograph Footloose for Magnolia. Mm-hmm. So this will be like my second time really fully collaborating with him.
Wonderful. So back to Rock of Ages. When do you open?
July 10th.
And when do you close?
August 9th.
August 9th. And where can folks go to get more information about the show?
So you can go to our website, which is tex-arts.org. Or you can check out our social media as well.
Wonderful. Well, thank you all so much for coming on the show. I had a great time.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Y'all were amazing co-hosts as well.
Oh, thank you.
Yay.
So much.
There you go. That was Kim Schaefer, Paige Harvey, Lynn Kenning, Shane Scandamura. What the heck is wrong with me? Scandura.
Yeah.
Sarah Teeter. It's a reading problem. All of TexArts production of Rock of Ages, playing July 10th through August 9th. For more information, you may visit tex-arts.org. And this is from Rock of Ages. I know you'll recognize this song because we're not going to take it. We'll be right back. We are back. You are listening to Offstage and on the Air on KOOP 91.7. This puppy streams internationally at koop.org. And I thank you so much for listening and putting up with all my shenanigans. So we're going to talk about local stuff here. Thought there was something. I do want to say that at Ground Floor Theater we had something very different. You've missed it because it was last Monday night, but it was Katsura Sunshine. He was a guest on our show last week, and he did Japanese storytelling. I haven't seen anything like that before. It was very, very interesting. And he came in with a group of three apprentices who also performed, and they were funny. They had lots of energy. It was really funny. So if you get an opportunity to ever see, hear or go to see a Japanese storyteller, I would recommend it. It's kind of fun. So let me just, as a solo person operating on her own right now, I am going to go through the now playing and soon to open. We're actually kind of in, I don't want to say a lull, but it's not a whole bunch of shows happening right at this very moment. But we got some. So here we go. At Georgetown Palace Theater, we just coming up to the end. You'll last weekend to see Jesus Christ Superstar. It plays through July 5th. I should say also that you should check these websites to see whether they have a performance on July 4th, which is on a weekend this year. So some shows are not doing shows on July 4th, and some might be doing shows on July 4th. So they have Jesus Christ Superstar. Also, they also have Every Brilliant Thing happening through July 19th. And then Zach Theater has got Annie running through August 2nd. I saw an interview, I think on We Are Austin, with the two girls that are playing Annie, which is, and the dog, forgot the dog's name, Sandy. The dog Sandy is a big old dog, looks really adorable. Anyway, they were on, and these two girls looked like they were having a good time in the show over at the Zach. Annie plays through August 2nd. Different Stages has Stage Blood. They are playing through the 11th of July. And they are one. I know they do not have a show on the 4th of July. And I will say I'm going to finish my list and then we'll talk later. Stage Austin has got Fool for Love. It opens on July 10th and plays through August 2nd. Inspired Minds out in Buda has got The Wizard of Oz playing July 11th through the 26th. TexArts, we just talked to them. Rock of Ages plays July 10th through August 9th. And then Fresh Squeezed Ounce of Opera, they're playing at Data Labs on July 17th through the 25th. And then auditions, we have TexArts. We just talked to them. I didn't talk to them about these auditions for Boing Boing, which I love to say, and the Winter Wonderettes. Those auditions happen July 19th. Mary Moody Northern Theater at St. Ed's has Equity Principal auditions for several shows. I guess it's for the entire season next year's. And that is She Kills Monsters, Alice, Enemy of the People, and Laughs in Spanish. I don't know whether the show is called Laughs in Spanish or it is called Laughs and it is in Spanish, but it says Laughs in Spanish. Those auditions happen on July 13th, but you'll email for an appointment. I got all that information off the atxtheater.org website. Finally, I did want to say Different Stages had a reading on Sunday of A Woman of No Importance by, forgot his name. I had never seen it before and didn't know anything about it, but a stellar cast. It takes place in England. Everybody was speaking their best High British, and it was really fun to see actors that I know and love playing this piece, and the piece was delightful. So that was good. Unfortunately, you missed it if you're hearing this for the first time. Let's do Today in Theater History. We don't have a lot. We have no openings. All we have is birthdays. So our birthdays are Twyla Tharp, Thomas Sadowski, Nick Bleemere, and Charles Lawton, and big Broadway star Terrence Mann is his birthday as well. And we are going to go and take a break with a song that Terrence Mann sings from Tuck Everlasting. It's called Everything's Golden. We will be right back. We're back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps here on Co-op Radio 91.7 on your FM dial, streaming worldwide at koop.org. Folks, we did it. That's it for today's show. We're actually going to be sans Nicole for a couple of months now. So we will be having guest co-hosts for the next couple of months, and that'll be fun. So we're going to go out with, I was thinking, well, the cast album came out just recently, but I was thinking about Rachel Zegler. And I forgot why I was thinking about her, but that's what made me want to play a song from the West End production of Evita, which will be coming into New York. And the West End, of course, starred Rachel Zegler as Evita Perone. And so let's go out with something from that show, and that is a Buenos Aires. We'll see you next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. Tracy Schultz is coming up next. He's going to tell us what's new because his show is called What's New. We'll see you next week. Bye.